Welcome to this week's edition, the NFL edition of the William Hill Sports Show, coming to you live from the Club Count Eva, ESPN 94.5 FM. I clapped. I was excited. Josh, yes. I got fired up. Josh is looking at, you know, I flew down to Vegas and we entered the big contest and little $1,000 entry fee for the big circuit contest. I don't want to promote them, you know, too much, but you know, it's a big contest. All the sharp guys are in it, and so Josh is going over my picks, and we're gonna, you know, have to figure out our five selections, Josh, for the try to win this $1 million they're giving. So that being said, that's the reason I was clapping, John. I'm fired up right now.
Yes.
Right. The best thing about those contests, especially at this point of the season, is just like all the teams, there's always hope until you get into it, right? You think about how maybe you get on a good run and hit whatever 60%. Cash a big check, and the anticipation of being able to play, possibly get that pot of gold.
You know, I'm right in the thick of it right now, tied for first place. You know,
yeah,
so
exactly.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
Especially, you know,
proud of you.
Yeah, that's right. You know, we haven't even had a game yet.
Yeah.
Some people, actually, I'm not in first place because I didn't realize you could. Never mind.
You could do the Thursday game.
Yeah, let's just talk. We need to not talk about that and talk about something. This William Hill sports contest, the pro pick'em is up and going right now. They're giving away $300,000 this year. You know, that the first kickoff for that will be this Sunday. The Thursday game wasn't included, so you still have all the slate. Basically, $25 entry fee. You can enter. I'm not sure how many times you can enter. That's a good question. I think up to eight or so. But that being said,
right. There's a cap.
Right. Exactly. They have the weekly winners and the yearly winners. So that's always exciting, and they have the college contest, Josh, that you enter every year. $500 entry fee, five or seven games.
Yeah, it's seven picks for 10 weeks, so 70 total picks. It's a kind of quick season because there's
actually, versus the spread.
Right, there's a few weeks of action. It ends right around Thanksgiving. There's still a few weeks of full slate of games, but for whatever reason, it's always been that way. So it actually starts more or less in week two and ends in week 10 or whatever. But yeah, 10 weeks, seven picks each, and it starts tomorrow, so you got to get on that one
versus the spread. So still time to sign up for that, though. And that's one of the more exciting ones. I'm more of a, I would say I'm a little bit more of a professional handicapper. Excuse me, I don't mean professional.
What?
Pro football, NFL handicapper. I feel like I have a better grip on the points in pro football. What I was trying to say, John, and not necessarily the college game. So you know, I think that you know you're kind of a better at college. Well, maybe I don't know.
Exactly.
I think you're better at college.
You're right.
I think my track record shows I'm lousy in both of them.
Yeah, well, and which is fine, John, because we need all opinions. And if we know you're lousy, it's easy to just bet the other side.
I have my moments.
You do. So
college basketball.
Yeah. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4 games going tonight. We'll get into those, but. What else is going on? Make sure you do all your wagering with William Hill. Download the William Hill mobile app at www.williamhill.us. Full-service sports wagering app right on your iPhone, your
iPad.
You're
leaving money on the table if you don't.
You're leaving money on the table if you don't. Absolutely agree with that. Why? Flurry says, I like Marshall covering tonight.
Okay. Boise it is.
Okay. Well, Flurry, I have Boise.
Hey, Big Dummy, we were just talking about you and your 40-man roster appearances. So it's funny that you texted.
Anyways, going back. What do you guys want to talk about? You guys want to jump into the – you want to recap the NFL or the Wolfpack game, or do you want to jump into the NFL? Let's talk a little bit about tonight's games, because we do have three games going on tonight – or excuse me, three games going on tonight. Excuse me, not four. Wake Forest and Rice just kicked off. I don't have any score in that game. Josh or John, did you guys weigh in at that game?
It's right up behind us. But, yeah, I took Rice plus 20 points. Because kind of, I saw them – I actually had them last week, and I was telling John before the show, I have a little bit of insight for them. But basically their coach is a Stanford guy. He started there last year. Mike Bloomgren's his name. And they play that style. Like they went from a spread offense, so it completely had to change the personnel. They weren't ready last year. This should be a little bit better this year, but the good news is he got a lot of graduate transfers, got a chance to recruit guys, you know, more suited to that physical pace. And if you watch the game against Army last week, they did a great job. They almost won that game. It's about a 24-point underdog, 7-point game. And I just thought based on tempo alone, they'll be able to eat the clock and what they're doing right now. They're going length of the field on the first drive. And I just think Wake – who's good, but Wake's better as an underdog in their own conference. They're better when they're getting, you know, 10 points against Florida State or whoever. You can't lay it. So I think Rice keeps pace and shortens the game with that running attack.
Yeah, I was given a heater, said this was an absolute lock by a Cal Diva handicapper here named Gino. So we're going to find out if this under 59. I liked it, but when you start throwing around the term lock, it makes me second guess it a little bit. So we're going to see. Wake Forest is just driving up and down the field right now. So,
well, we know how that does. It doesn't always have to end like that, does it, John?
Not at all.
So with that being said, what else do we got tonight? I'm actually pulling up this game right now because I want to talk about this game, the next game, a little bit more exciting. Boise State, the 1-0 Boise State team, they're going to battle Marshall tonight. Marshall, both teams are 1-0. Marshall's coming off a victory against VMI, Virginia Military Institute. They beat them 56-17 in week one. They had 620 yards in total offense, but you know what kind of surprised me here, Josh and John, is that VMI was able to get 257, you know, in total offense. That's a big number for, you know, when you're going up against the Boise team. And I think Boise's, you know, they're going to be fired up. They play Marshall this week, and they basically a bye next week too. So, you know, I like Boise in this spot. The number opened up at 11.5. I know it's been bet up as high as 13.5.
14 now.
Is it 14?
14
now?
So right now.
So there you go. It's actually moved a half point since I left my office. You know, the only thing that obviously is a little bit concerning, gentlemen, is, you know, you have Boise coming off that big comeback win, you know, versus Florida State. You know, they were down 21-6 at the end of the first quarter. They scored 17 points and held Florida State scoreless in the second half of that game last week to beat Florida State 36-31. So now you have Boise State, you know, coming in, laying, like you said, John and Josh, opening up 11.5 at 2.5 three-point middle all the way to 2 full touchdowns.
Yeah, I looked this morning and it was 12, flat 12, and I hadn't got back on there until just before the show. I tried to bet it before the Rice game started, but I was not successful. It was 7-0 Wake, by the way. Yeah, full 2 points today. So that's a little scary. I'm not in the business of betting against Boise State in their home openers or at home period, but this one's a little scary. Marshall can play this game, and coming off such an emotional win, I don't know. I'm gonna leave it alone, I think.
I actually weighed in on Boise, Josh, and one of the reasons, you know, I go and look at what Boise did. You know, I have a difference of opinion on the Nevada-Purdue game, which we'll talk about next. But, you know, I looked at this Boise game. Like I said, they scored 17 unanswered points in the second half to take the 36-31 victory over Florida State on the road. I mean, it was in Florida, still a road game. Both teams had to move. But with that being said, yeah, Boise had 38 first downs in that game. So it wasn't a smoke and mirror kind of win, Josh. You're talking about Boise State. 38 first downs, 407 or 621 total yards, 621 total yards against Florida State. Absolutely amazing.
That's unreal.
It's unreal, Josh.
Yeah, and you're right. It wasn't looking good early because if I stayed away from that game, though, because like I said, there was the site change and then the spread went from like 4 to 6.5. Like, you know what? I'm just going to lay off. At first, I was glad. I'm like, look at that. First quarter, maybe Boise is getting overwhelmed there. And then you see as the game progresses, geez, they're kind of hanging in there. And I wasn't expecting that high a scoring affair. But you're right, Boise State's usually solid. They clamp down, second half shutout, and end up coming back to win the game. And that's why, Ken, I think Marshall, I'm laying off the spread here too, but I actually like the under here because Marshall allowed, they had the best defense in their conference last year, only allowed 21 points a game, and they have most of their players coming back. And we know Boise's reputation is pretty rock solid on defense. Even the last few years when the offense has been spotty, they've been able to stop teams. I just kind of see this one with, you know, 57 points. I kind of see it between the lines, maybe some, you know, big plays or whatever, but and it could be close to the total, but I feel like, you know, 27, whatever, 20. I mean, I would take the underdog, I guess, if those are the scores I'm thinking. But I think Marshall's just sticky enough and good enough on defense to send this under.
One more half point is an automatic take, don't you think?
Yeah, oh, for sure, exactly. And especially the way it's gotten out of control, you know, with that big of a move. But still, there's a lot of leeway, I feel like, with the total because these teams, I think, are going to be able to get off the field against each other a little bit.
I'm a Florida State guy, and I hate Boise State, so that was a double whammy for me. Watching the tale of two halves was just unbelievable. It was just Florida State dominance to Boise State dominance. And when you saw the ball start rolling with Boise State, I knew what was happening. I could see it from a mile away. Florida State was doing nothing, and Boise State was doing whatever they wanted. And Florida State, they could have lost that game by 3 touchdowns, really. It was unbelievable.
How about the performance from the entire Mountain West last week? I mean, look what
– that's awesome.
It's amazing. Hawaii beats Arizona.
Yes.
Hawaii beat
Arizona 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. San Diego State.
Remember I had Hawaii on the money line that night.
San Diego State's got a tough game tomorrow playing UCLA. I know. Yeah. But with that being said, you know, and who beat Missouri? Like Wyoming beat Missouri or somebody?
Correct.
I mean, Josh, I mean,
they were 17 and a half point dog.
UNLV has a big victory. I mean, what a great, great first week for the Mount West Conference.
Yeah, it's impressive. And And I think that this league is criminally underrated in that sense. We talked about it last week about Boise being the charter school and you know, everybody else has their roles and everything. And maybe things are about to change. I mean, the Wolfpack winning that game was something. I know we said that they were live and they had a chance and everything. We didn't expect them to win.
Well, exactly. And
especially in the fashion that they did.
You know what, John, it's kind of funny because you guys know, because of work, I couldn't go up there and catch it. I saw most of it on TV, but the only thing, and maybe it's just too obvious of a reference, but the whole environment just reminded me of the 2010 Boise game. It had exact same deficit, 17 points.
24-7 at the half.
To me, right, and the trajectory, where Nevada seemed kind of lethargic, and you're thinking it's not so great. But then they're hanging around, doing just enough. It's just enough for you to stay interested. And then just this wild finish, a walk-off 56-yard field goal.
The only difference, I didn't have to take care of a drunk buddy and miss the second half of this game like I did with the Boise game. So it was – Kenny, that was as fired up as I've ever seen you in my life, first of all. And I'm sure that was the same on the other end, because I was just...
And y'all, we all know that I lost a lot of money on that game anyways.
Absolutely.
I lost a buttload of money on that
absolutely.
Game. But there was a point where I kind of sacrificed the game. I said, you know what, let's just win this game.
That's when we're going to win this race.
Yeah, it's just a crazy chain of events. So with that being said, we're going to get into the... We'll probably get into the Nevada game. We'll do with the Nevada game next segment because I want to handicap this and talk about the Oregon game. But, you know, going back to the Boise game, I ended up betting, like I said, I've already told you guys, I bet Boise that tonight I got the lower number. I think I got minus 12. I have double look. I have so many bets, I don't know exactly what I have. But I think I'm right in the minus 12 range. You know, when I looked at the game, I actually talked to Nick Bogdanovich, the head trader, about this game a little bit today. And, you know, he kind of just – he didn't really necessarily have a strong opinion on the game. But, you know, he was bringing up, you know, the point. 35 first downs on the road versus Florida State, 620 yards in total offense on the road versus Florida State. And John, like you said, I think you made the most obvious point, home opener at Boise. And it's not like I don't look at Boise to have letdown games.
No.
They still battle like there's a chip on their shoulder, like they're still the up and coming team.
Yeah.
And it's just I don't see, for some reason, I just don't see Boise having
any sort of letdown.
Exactly.
I don't either.
They don't play like that.
Especially with a freshman quarterback, Hank. I forget his name. Hank, whatever his name is. Who is, when you look at what he's doing and what Carson Strong's doing, it's pretty cool to have two freshman quarterbacks that appear to be of that caliber going to go head-to-head. Although we don't play Boise for 2 years with that stupid scheduling quirk, unless we play him in December. But I think I'm always comfortable with a couple things in life. Having the Patriots at home, having the Boise State Broncos at home.
You know what? For the most part,
I'll take it every time.
It's one of those things where it's almost always going to give you a chance.
Yeah.
You know, once in a while, especially back in their heyday with Kellen Moore, I mean, the huge numbers, sometimes you know they couldn't cover. But it's one of those things where you always feel like you're in the game. One thing I was going to mention about Florida State, it was odd. Did you see the afterward of Willie Taggart? And some of the players were saying, yeah, conditioning was an issue.
Yeah.
They were totally out of
breath.
They're
dehydrated.
Like, okay, you're at Florida State.
Yeah.
The top Division I. And Willie Taggart's reputation is for cultivating athleticism. People loved him at Oregon.
Yeah.
It's like, how could you say if you went up against a Mountain West team in the fourth quarter, yeah, we forgot to do enough sprints.
We forgot to hydrate.
We forgot to be in shape for our first game of the season.
Is it because they don't want to drink Gatorade?
Or is it just they're looking – they didn't want – they had to come up with some excuse? I mean, what are you going to say?
I guess so.
They beat us up and down the field?
Good team outplayed us.
Here's what happened. Yeah, you got flat out outplayed, and I'm not happy about it.
So, with that being said –
I'm going to trade in my tomahawk. I don't know for what yet.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Something's coming.
A little bit later tonight, too. So, four games today, I was right. Virginia is playing William and Mary. Virginia up 7-0 in the first quarter, 9:37 left in the first quarter. Wake Forest, like you guys said, going up and down the field. Wake already up 7-0.
They're on the 25 already, too.
That's what I was getting ready to say.
They scored and got a turnover.
And they're on the 14-yard line.
We still have
Christian.
We still have the Boise State Marshall game that kicks off at 6 o'clock tonight. Boise State's up to like John said, minus two touchdowns right now, minus 14. Totals 58 in that game. I think that if you're looking to lay the points in this game, you know Boise very easily could get 40. They can probably get there themselves if they want to. It's pretty close.
We'll see. That second half was so impressive. That it's going to scare me the rest of the year. It's going to stick in my head the rest of the year. So I never have a problem betting Boise as much as I hate him.
I hear you. And then a little bit later tonight.
What are you laughing at?
Huh? Just silly text. We're talking about the Gary Allen concert.
And then which one? You got two of them.
I know. Today, man, how excited was I about that?
Awesome.
To see that today. So, Sac State and Arizona State a little bit later tonight. Both teams 1-0. I was just looking to see who Sac State beat the first week. You know, the 1-0 Sac State squad, Josh, they beat a team called South, S-O-U. No. Southern? It's probably Southern, right? So, beat them. Sac State scored 77 points in the first game.
The Hornets scored 77 points.
77-19. It's not basketball either, John. We're talking about football, NCAA football. But they get to play Arizona State tonight. And, you know, sometimes that's a big reality check. Arizona State, like I said, they're 1-0 right now. They're coming off a victory versus Kent State, 30-7. But, you know, they did score a lot of points.
And they play to win the game.
They play to win the game.
Hello.
So, anyways. Any thoughts on that game a little bit later, guys? That game that's going to kick off about 8 o'clock. Josh, John?
I bet the Devils.
Did you?
Yep.
What was the line? Did you know?
35.
Was it really?
Yep.
Okay, 35. There you go. So I didn't see the line. So five touchdowns. Sac State going to Arizona State. Probably, you know, 1-0, probably headed to ASU just to get a paycheck.
I had no idea. The
just to get a paycheck,
scored
right?
77 points last game, but that doesn't matter.
Okay. All right. Two games still left to kick off tonight. Boise State at home opener, laying 14 points versus Marshall. And then Sac State travels to Arizona State. Arizona State laying 35 in that game. So still two more posts tonight. Let's head off to our – go ahead, John.
Did you see the UNLV bad beat, by the way? The dude, the safety, he caught the kickoff. He caught the kickoff, came out of the end zone, backed up. He came out about 2 yards back. Backed back up, kneeled down, safety for the cover for – or is either the over or something happened, but those 2 points, it was on Scott Van Pelt's bad beat the other night. So.
Was the if you had Oregon plus 4.5, was that on there?
Yes.
I mean, why not just line
that
up?
That was the number one bad beat.
Why not just line up and kick the dadgum field goal with 16 seconds left? He throws a jump ball that he should not have made that pass in that situation.
Yep.
I had plus 4.5 and plus 3.
And the Northwestern.
And all they had.
The Northwestern fumble against Stanford as well.
Oh, goodness. Anyway, so. Love my man Scott Van Pelt. He preaches the bad beats,
and we put that on our Kenny B Facebook page. Him giving Nevada love and picking Nevada to cover that game. Yeah, he didn't pick him to win, but he picked him to cover.
He did. So we'll talk about that game when we come back after break on ESPN 94.5 FM. We're back here at the Club Calnevas. Place is starting to pick up. I mean, week two of college football, week one of NFL. We have the event room here at the Club Calnevas. Come down and watch all the sporting events. We're going to be showing the Wolfpack game here tomorrow. Kickoff is at 4:30.
Yep.
Yeah, so we'll all be here in the event room. And if you see us come in, I'll buy you a beer and a shot. I mean, I'll literally buy you a beer and a shot. And Sunday we're going to be down here watching the NFL kickoff too. So with that being said, kind of talked a little bit about it. Let's talk about Nevada, Oregon, and Nevada, Purdue. And, you know, like John kind of already touched on it a little bit. You know, what a great game. What a great way to open up for the Nevada Wolfpack. You know, down 24-7 at the half. I lost money. I had the under in this game, too. Another bad beat. I mean, absolute bad beat, in my opinion. I know Purdue didn't score in the first. The game probably should have been 17-7 at halftime. The Pack punted. Pin Purdue like at the 2 yard line, and with about a little bit less than 2 minutes left, and they gave up a 90-yard touchdown drive, a 90-plus-yard touchdown drive to go up by 24-7 at halftime, and then I really don't know what happened, guys. You know, I want to believe that Nevada is this good, but I still need a little bit more of a sample size. You know, going back and looking at the stats, Nevada had 34 first downs to 31 for Purdue. The one thing. I'm very concerned about this game tomorrow. Like I said, I don't understand what happened to Purdue in the second half. I really don't. I know that we had five turnovers to zero. So that's absolutely crazy.
In two games with Purdue, that's 9-0 in our favor.
Turnovers. Right, and we're 1-1. Exactly.
1-1. So, and they blew a 14-point lead last time.
You know, I look at some of these stats. You know, let's Josh, John, what was your opinion? Listen, I love the fact that we got the victory. I love the heart that the team showed.
Yeah.
I love the Purdue fans calling, you know, all over Twitter at halftime talking about, you know, the game's out of control. And then, you know, and I really did think the second half it was going to get out of control. Purdue had in this game, they had 519 total yards of offense, 423 through the air. And now they're getting ready to go play an Oregon team that's coming off a real salty loss, like we talked about, versus Auburn last week. But, you know, they had trouble scoring after the first quarter, too. You know, Oregon only scored, what, 3 points after the first quarter? Is that what it was? They were up 14-0. They scored 7 points in the third quarter. So they're up 14-3 after one and only scored 7 points the rest of the game. With that being said, I'm going to turn it over to you guys. The line for tomorrow's game, it opened offshore at 21.5. It's been all the way up to 24.5, so a full 3-point move. Right now it's currently sitting at 24 with a total of 61.5.
Well, it's a tough one. It can, based on the current number, I think it's tough only because I believe it could be right on it, like a total 61.5. I think 48-24 could be perfect. With the offense Nevada showed in the second half, it'd be awfully tempting to take those points, but I agree Oregon's going to come out, I think, a little something to prove. I think Nevada's defense has something to be desired, and I think Oregon's going to have some pretty good success, you know, scoring on them. But, Kent, to answer your point about Purdue, it was funny because I think right from the start, it was pretty clear. They came out to make a statement, you know, we're not going to have this, you know, letdown. It's pretty clear they have the superior athletes, and they went up and down the field, kind of did what they wanted. But it was a funny stat at the start of, like, the fourth quarter when I think it was about a 7-point game because I saw on CBS Sports Network, you know, the talent tape type of thing. And, wow, everything's in Purdue's favor. And it was just astounding at the time because it was like 470 yards to 160.
Oh, at halftime, Josh.
Favor. And the only difference is they circled the turnover. The turnovers was a 4-0. That was the ultimate equalizer.
I can tell you what I read at halftime, Josh, because I loaded up on Purdue at halftime also. It was minus – I got minus 3.5. Nevada had 97 or 100 yards of total offense in the first half. One of it came on a 47-yard broken 4th-and-7 play where we scored a touchdown. So if you take away that play, Nevada had probably – 50 yards of total offense and 5 first downs.
Right.
And Purdue was dominating the stats.
Yeah.
What happened at halftime? I have no clue.
Well, again, some of those things, too, like the Rondale Moore thing, is like, come on, you just know that's a disaster. The ball's ping-ponging behind him, and he just he decides to touch it, and you know that's going to backfire.
It's great.
And it's just funny, like Purdue just, to me, especially after they scored, right, when they got the flea flicker to answer Nevada's score, I felt like that was their undoing in that. They're like, yeah, this is no big deal. I had Nevada threatened. There's a touchdown in 2 plays. And they just fell apart. I mean, I seriously felt like you saw a team completely lose focus. But can remember, I think we kind of had a similar analysis on Carson Strong, thinking, you know what, maybe early on they'll be a little conservative with them, trying to get the run game going. They did. He did seem a little tentative.
Did you see his quote?
No.
He said, opening up, it was going 1,000,000 miles an hour. I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah. Okay.
It's really,
okay,
really fast. And he said as the game progressed, it became slow motion to him. And it looked like that's what it was. He was dropping dimes. I mean, they dropped 2 touchdown passes there at the end.
Yeah, I agree,
that he
John.
Put
In
right.
Fact, what's funny is I didn't hear that quote. I'd love to see you know, whatever interview. But because you're right, you could see the evolution, though, in one half, and it was amazing because he did sort of look like a deer in the headlights freshman in the first half, totally expected. And talk about growing up. Suddenly with the game on the line, I was like, what's going on?
It was amazing.
The darts he's throwing, and I mean, yeah, he just came alive. He clearly had some confidence going his way. But I just might make one comparison. What I really liked about his talent set and everything we saw, say, for instance, by comparison to Ty Ganji, and so offense to him because he had a good, solid college career. Yeah. Ganji was good with the dual threat stuff. He was a good runner. He was good with the quick timing sets.
Yeah.
3-step drop, boom, the slant, the out, whatever, keep the chains away. He was good in that regard. Wasn't great with the deep ball, had some problems with turnovers. What I liked about Strong with the game on the line, it's just I'm sure you guys had the perspective of this as well. But more of the natural pocket passer, but the passes he was able to make under duress is what I'm getting at. Suddenly the rush is on him, and oh, that touchdown toss to tie the game. It looked like there was a Purdue blitzer running free. Someone got a piece of him at the last second, but it looks like he's about to just get crushed. Steps into the throw with the guy bearing
laser
down on him.
Laser.
And I'm just thinking, this kid grew up with like just that poise in the pocket and then the accuracy with the game on the line. Like I said, we saw him grow up in one game.
I agree with that. And, you know, and what's funny is, he says it was going 1,000,000 miles an hour or really fast, whatever he said.
This statement concerned me, and I'll tell you why.
Exactly.
I'll tell
slowed
you why.
Down. Guess what? It's about to go to to ludicrous speed, to quote.
Okay. What scared me with that statement is the simple fact that he said that the game was way too fast. Purdue had the third worst defense versus the pass last year.
Yeah.
And he thought that was fast. Wait till this Oregon team.
You're about to go to Autzen.
Oh boy.
And that's the thing. It's unfortunate. It's great that they're going up to Oregon to play him, but it's kind of unfortunate as well. I think that, you know, as we kind of transition into this week and to handicap this game, I think they're in not only a lot of trouble, I think this is We're gonna learn a lot about the Wolfpack here. The Weber State's on deck. Is that correct?
Weber State's they're
yeah.
That's not necessarily a freebie.
I understand that.
I know.
I understand that.
But I'm with you, John. I mean, we have Weber State on deck. We might already be. I don't want to say looking forward to it, but man, we got a hungry animal tomorrow.
But it's also there's such possibility now as well. To even put up a good showing, they're not going to win at Austin Stadium against the Oregon Ducks. They're just not going to do that. If they put up a nice effort, keep this game respectable, cover, that's all I'm asking for. That would be great. Nobody get hurt. Let's go to Weber State and then finish off this fairly, I wouldn't say easy, but manageable schedule they have the rest of the year. This game is going to be. If they like you said, if Purdue was fast, guess what? Here we go.
You know they're going to have to be able to run the ball and control the ball. In the game against Purdue, Nevada absolutely could not run the ball. They could not rushing yards. They had 25 carries for 109 yards. So I mean, they just didn't. They just
it's not awful, but it's not.
You expect more. Auburn ran the ball against
Oregon.
But,
Kenny, when you fall down 17 points at the half.
That's true. You start throwing the ball. That's exactly true. Good point, Josh. Auburn ran for
My name's John.
Or John.
Surprised you didn't know that.
Auburn ran for 206 versus Oregon. So I think the way to keep the game close and win the game is decrease the amount of possessions for Oregon by being able to run the ball. So anyways, that's my thoughts.
That makes sense. Ken, one thing I thought we might want to mention, too, seemed to be a pretty big problem in that game was the celebration fouls on Nevada. I mean, it's one thing to be fired up. It's another thing to completely hurt your team. And they had a couple that were pretty much killers, right? Well, the tying touchdown, they had to kick a 35-yard extra point.
Let's not get lost on how clutch that kick was.
Yeah, John, that's a huge thing. I saw this backfire last year. I was going to bring up. I saw Miami of Ohio come back from 21 down against Army, scored the tying touchdown. They wanted to go for two. The guy that scored it went ape and forced the 35-yard extra point. Now, they actually made it and went to overtime, but they were out. They wanted to go for two with the momentum, and they lost in overtime. Another thing is, so not only are those super costly penalties, but I was going to say on the last play of the game, the walk-off field goal, did you see the replay? Somebody, I believe it was the holder.
He knew it.
Caleb Fossum.
Yes. He knew it was good. Immediately rips his helmet off.
I saw that.
And you know what, Ken? That can not only be called, that can negate the field goal.
Yes.
Thankfully, the referees didn't do it. But that in the college game now, you celebrate early, they can take away the play. We've seen it called
many
times.
Do you remember when Dwayne Rudd did that?
I was going to say, the Browns and Chiefs. I was with people who didn't believe me. I said, I've seen games decided on that.
Yep.
The college game put that into effect, especially or if you celebrate before you get to the end zone, and it's not just on the kickoff, though, they'll take away the score. And so when I saw the replay, and he does it as soon as – because he's the first guy in the house. He knows the kick's good. I'm like – You've got to be. I'm glad the refs just, all right, we'll walk off and let you. They could have thrown that flag.
Could you imagine?
Yeah, I believe
you.
Josh, I'm surprised I noticed the same thing, and I thought, oh, my, on the replay. I didn't see it during the
game.
Right,
I saw it on the replay, too, because you couldn't help.
I would have jumped out of the window of the box.
Yeah. I mean, wow. I mean, I saw the same thing. I was like, but still, I mean, it would have went into overtime. I mean, so at least we would have been into overtime.
Right.
I mean, who knows what would have happened, but.
It's not. You can't call that, though. You just can't.
I'm just saying.
I know it's a rule.
I understand. With three or four others, John, that were called, then maybe, you know, again, the crossing lines between enthusiasm and when you hurt your team with that 15-yard penalty.
That's one of my favorite parts of, you know, we've seen that highlight from so many different angles, and the one that's just on Fossum is amazing. It's just, you know, that's a fifth. He might be a sixth-year senior. I think he had another redshirt year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have the true freshman. It was unbelievable, just the celebration at that point. And, you know, I didn't even think of that until you said that just now. But that's
funny. No, I saw it. I mean,
I saw it. It just didn't occur to me that, oh, boy, you can't do that.
Yeah. I mean, so with that being said, Nevada coming off a big win, beating Purdue 34-31 to move to 1-0 in the season. Nevada was 11-point favorite in that game. So they covered, it came dogging over in that game with a total of 58.5, closed at 59.5. Tomorrow – this is what we got. We got Oregon at 4:30.
Okay, by the way, our parlay, it's kind of funny, right?
Oh, yeah.
So it was UMass. What happened?
Oh, yeah.
We thought we actually would have gotten in there. Nevada comes through at plus 360 or whatever. And UMass
face
up
just went.
Yeah. I'm thinking, geez, we might have a sweat here. I get home and somehow Rutgers is up 20 points or something.
Yeah.
Could you imagine that? We had a $40 two-team parlay money line. up 21-0 in one game, and we blow that game. And otherwise, Jed's a millionaire, so to speak. Pack tomorrow, 4:30 kickoff. Come down to the club, Colony, and watch it in the event room. Up to 24, total of 61.5. So I'm going to ping you guys down before we move on to the NFL. John, I'm going to give you the 24 and the number at 24 and 61.5. Of the two wagers, what do you like?
I hate what I said earlier about just doubting everything Wolfpack. I'm such a Wolfpack fan my whole life, and think I know what's going to happen every week, and it's last week kind of flipped the script on me a little bit. I'm not saying they're going to go into Autzen and win. I flat out said they were not going to, but I think they cover. I think that they make enough plays. I think this defense is opportunistic. I don't think it's a great defense. I don't think they're going to stop Oregon, but I think Oregon may have the number one overall pick at quarterback. I understand that, but I think they're going to make a couple plays on defense. They're going to score a little bit, and Josh had almost a perfect number, 48-24. I think it's in that range, close. Maybe a little more, maybe a little less, but I think it's in that range, and I kind of like it under.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's in that range, too. That's why I don't like – I said at the opening number, I kind of liked Oregon a little bit because I think your bounce-back spot, Ken mentioned, I think obviously Nevada's defense is going to be way more forgiving than Auburn's. They had some success against Auburn, only with 21. It should have been more. I mean, Oregon left so many points on the board, and I was frustrated as well, Ken, because I had that one big at plus 4.5. Really frustrating loss. But, again, given how Nevada looked at – particularly in the first half on defense. I mean, I think Oregon will get their share of scoring, but it's a ton of points to give up when you realize when they only need to hold serve once for every Oregon's three scores in order to cover that. It's a lot of points, but, yeah, I'd probably say Oregon or pass.
423 is what the Purdue quarterback threw against on the road, first game of the year, where he'd only completed or attempted, I think, 10 passes the year before. So that's a very, very, like you, John, said, going back to what you said, possibly the first quarterback taken in the draft. That's who they're going up against in a stadium that's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
It's a bad recipe for the Pack tomorrow.
It is. It's not ideal.
So that's what I have. That's kind of what I have to say. So Tommy Thompson just came up. I know he doesn't. Well, real quick, we're talking about the Pack getting 24 tomorrow and the total is being at 61.5. Oregon minus 24, 61.5. You got 30 seconds.
Oregon, pretty much easy. I think after the way they lost that game, they're going to come out real angry and upset. And just kind of the way we had the ball thrown against us all Friday night, it's not a pretty picture.
You guys are all morons.
All right, let's head off to our next commercial break. When we come back, we'll jump into the NFL slate. Season one of this year's 100th anniversary of the NFL. It's just Sunday's getting ready to kick off. I'm so excited. William Hill Sports Show, ESPN 94.5 FM. Welcome back to the William Hill Sports Show. You can like the show on our Facebook page at Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. That's Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping, as we do every year, and that we're going to be posting our selections on our Facebook page, which you can get that, Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. Josh Nagel, you can get all of his stuff. You can get all of Josh's stuff on Sportsline, Josh.
Yeah, thanks, Ken. Like you said, we're hitting first full week of pro football, second of college, full steam ahead, so pretty much every game. I've been spending, 12 hours a day minimum researching the stuff, put it up there. So big, full first weekend for Sportsline as well.
All right. With that said, let's jump into this NFL slate. We got to handicap all these games. No, obviously no buys this 1 week, one game behind us last night. Pathetic game last night, Chargers. Green Bay versus Chicago. 10-3 final, game under, half under. Just I have a big concern about the Chicago Bears and all the money that was bet on the Bears, the most bet team to win the Super Bowl this year so far. And I can tell you what, Trubisky did not
is
look
that
good.
Right?
Yes. Trubisky did not look good yesterday, did he, guys?
Not at all. But I thought the Packers were more so the public side of that game. Actually, I had the wrong side, to be honest. I had the Bears. I really thought it was just the Aaron Rodgers thing. He's getting a little too much credit. And they have a completely new coaching staff. And I thought the Bears, after winning 12 games last year and making some pretty big – seemingly, improvements. That's not, they should be able to keep it going. I figured, there was pretty decent value just in lane just three. Right out of the gates, it looked like, that defense is going to hold up. And I was just surprised because, the Bears, the whole reason they brought on Matt Nagy, they looked improved last year in offense. It looks like they did stuff that worked with Trubisky. They scored more points and had some more playmakers. And K Ken, last night for sure looked like a step back. I mean, they basically couldn't get a first down. Of course, salvaged a little hope at the end. Like, they get inside the 20. Okay, they send us to overtime, maybe give me a push or something. But that was not the most impressive at first out.
The only push you got was that push off on that long bomb.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I was bummed out with that, too, because what's funny is they didn't really push him.
It was blatant, though.
Right. That's the thing, though. But there was no impact, but his hands were there. The guy didn't move.
You extend both hands.
I know. And but you know what I'm saying, though. There was no, like, torque
yelling,
to
guys.
It didn't move the guy.
It didn't move him. It didn't move him, but it impeded his progress. He
right.
He didn't go fourth. But, yeah, that was – I mean,
was
there any takeaway on the Packers' defense, or is this all the Bears' horrible offense?
Well, the Packers' offense was horrible, too.
Yeah.
It really was. I mean, I even think
and
the
I
touchdown –
start Jimmy Graham.
The touchdown that Jimmy Graham got was basically – a post up in the end zone. I mean, that very easily could have been intercepted,
yeah.
Incomplete. I mean, just so with that being said, you know, we'd still be playing in a 3-3 game. So,
I
don't know. Let's move on. Let's
I
move
bet
on.
The Packers, so I was happy.
All right, let's move on to this week's games. First game on the card is Minnesota at home versus the Falcons. Nick used 4.5 on the card. The total right now, or the side right now, is 4. Vikings minus 4 and 47. You know, I think the Vikings are good, but, you know, I think it's too many points in this game. I like Atlanta in this game. You know, first game of the season. And there's something to be said. I was talking about with Mark Shannon today. Trubisky looks really sloppy. There's multiple quarterbacks that didn't see any live action in the preseason games.
Yeah.
And I think that has something to do with it a little bit.
I think it's a mistake.
I absolutely do, too. And this is one of the games where, you know, this is not necessarily is one of the games. But I like the Falcons at plus 4.5 in this game on the white card. I think that, you know, getting 4.5, I think that's a pretty good spot for the Falcons in week 1.
Yeah.
Give me the Falcons.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, Ken, especially about those quarterbacks. It became a real widespread thing because Trubisky actually he handed off like twice. He didn't play him at all. And for somehow the assumption that you're just going to step in and everything will be fine, I think takes a lot of things for granted. But there's a bunch. I mean, there's a couple guys like Drew Brees, you know, never plays. Phillip Rivers, you know, didn't play. I mean, there might be some guys who it doesn't affect, but especially for like an up-and-coming guy like Trubisky, it would seem odd.
Even Brady
plays a couple
played.
Times. Right.
Yeah.
So it just seems odd that he would sit out the whole time. And sure enough, I mean – without any real live reps to speak of, it wasn't looking good. This one, I think the Vikings will have the advantage. That is quite a big spot for points to give up, though. The way Atlanta's trended the last couple of years, I can't really trust them on the road. I mean, I would probably just pass that one.
I'm glad you just said those exact words. They have three pretty big trends over the last couple of years for both these teams. Falcons last two years against the spread on the road, 4-12. Vikings at home last couple years 11-4-1. The under is 9-1-1 with the Vikings at home. So it's
right.
All if you pay attention to those trends, if that means anything to you, I know it's a new year. You take that with a grain of salt, but that screams Vikings.
And the Vikings are going fast paced. I think they'll be better. Right, in the first year, Kirk Cousins under center, they were kind of disappointing. They thought, geez, we didn't do as much on offense, but they thought they could do things to more suit and style. They brought in a new offensive coordinator. They're actually going tempo with the type of, you know, snap it close immediately, get up there. And Cousins, who did play quite a bit in the preseason, you saw what they could do in the first half of some games. That does look like a style that's more suited to them. They should be better on offense.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, I think the Falcons are going to be a factor in the NFC South. I think it's a little bit of a bounce-back year for them. I just think this is a rough spot, and the Vikings are a legitimate team here. I like the Vikings.
All right, Eagles at home versus the Washington Redskins. 10.5 is what Nick used on the white card. It's at 10 right now. So, I mean, the Eagles, you know, a lot of preseason favorites to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. So with that being said, you know, like I said, Philadelphia 9-7 last year. Washington was 7-9 in the NFC East. You look at this game, and can you really lay 10 points in one game or in the first game of the year, guys?
I don't think so, Ken.
I know some of the wise guys kind of like the 10.
I think so, Tim.
Yeah, you know, Philadelphia seems like they're a popular public side, but a couple of things. One, they've started slow the last couple of years. Carson Wentz can't ever seem to stay healthy, and I think – as much as the Redskins are pretty much widely considered the worst team in that division, it may be true, but they always seem to compete pretty well with the Eagles. And 10 is so much in an NFL game, I wouldn't lay it.
Especially in week one division game.
Week one division, I think the Eagles are obviously clearly better, but I mean, I said on this show that I think the two most talented teams 1 through 53 are the Eagles and Cowboys. I don't know if that's true or not, but I said it. 10.5, I couldn't do that. I'll never do that.
Yeah. it might be a 10-point teaser play for me. You know, probably throw something.
Now
maybe,
you're talking.
Now maybe get the Eagles into a win situation. So I don't have any interest in the Redskins. Total's 45 in this game. 10.5, 45 is what Nick used on the white card. Tommy, do you have anything on? If you have something to say, Tommy, just raise your hand and we'll give you a mic.
No worries. That's a lot of points for an opening game. It is a rivalry. You know, maybe one of the plays would lean to laying the points a little bit just because, I mean, it's DeSean Jackson's return back to Philadelphia after being gone for so long. He's, you know, I watched some on ESPN the other night, how excited he is to be back in Philadelphia. He never wanted to leave, but Chip Kelly had other thoughts for him. So, you know, this could be a big play out of him to get some points on the board.
All right. Jets Bills, what a great! This is another fantastic first week matchup. Jets laying 2.5. Jets at home laying 2.5. Totals 40.5. That's what the current line is right now. It looks like we've had a full point move on the under. Nick opened at 41.5. It's down to 40.5. And like I said, the Jets minus 2.5. This is kind of a pass game for me, guys. You know, you got the two quarterbacks. I like it for that fact. I mean, these two young gunslingers, you know, are going to be there. Darnold and
Josh Allen.
So with that being said, you know, I probably if I could get, if there's a move here and the Bills get to +3, I'd be looking to weigh in on the dog and plus a field goal here in a game that I think the Bills probably are live to win.
I love the Jets. I think the Jets are better in every facet of this game here. Josh hates Sam Darnold. This is very documented.
Not a fan.
You know, I think we're going to see the absolute best out of Le'Veon Bell. I think that he's going to be an absolute difference maker for that team going forward, and it starts on Sunday. Under 3 points, I think with teams, I'm not discounting the Bills. I know the Bills are a good team. I like Josh Allen. I like the direction they're heading. Two teams that can play defense as well. I just think the Jets are better. And if I'm going to get under a field goal at home division game, I'm going to take it. I'm going to lay it. I mean,
I said I'm not going to weigh in until I get at least 3.
Yeah, no, I got you. That I'll jump on the 2.5.
All right. Ravens traveling to Miami to play the Dolphins. Nick opened up at 7.5. The numbers, it's a full point, went below the prime number 7. Right now it looks like the Ravens are down to 6.5 last I checked. And I'm looking I fired up my William Hill mobile app. I fired up the app, Josh and John. You want to say it, Josh? 6.5, 39.5. I can't wait to see if the Dolphins are going to be as bad as everybody says.
I can't wait
to see if the Ravens are going to be as good as everybody says. John, I mean, it's kind
of... Hold on. My point is, I haven't even made a point yet, but
yeah, good point.
Nobody's saying the Ravens are good. Is there another playoff team more slept on than the Ravens?
Yeah. A lot of people are saying that Ravens and the new
new offense.
They're going to a West Coast. It's not a grind out. Yeah, John, I'm hearing it a lot. So with that being said,
where are you hearing these things?
Well,
it's one of those
sports
things.
Radio.
It's why the spreads jumped up. I mean, John, I think it's because John Harbaugh plays a lot. The Ravens had more of an exhibition of their starters in the preseason than any team, so they're fresh in the minds of people. They're like, wow, this offense looks good. And like, yeah, if more teams played their starters that long, you know, they'd feel the same way. I think it's an overreaction, but the greater point about the Dolphins, remember we had that thing a couple years ago, the Jets, they're just going to be a disaster, and they still won like 6 games, and they weren't that bad. I feel the same way about the Dolphins, and that – they're kind of rebuilding or whatever. They may be doing the tanking for Tua. They may end up with Tua Tagovailoa or Justin Herbert of Oregon. In the meantime, they do have Fitzpatrick.
I wouldn't either.
The 23rd pick.
I take Jalen Hurts.
In the meantime, I don't think they're going to be that big of a disaster. If it got to 7, I would take Miami, only because I think it's the ultimate fade the world play. I think Baltimore, everyone's going to be on them.
Just to put that, because we said Jalen Hurts, after last week's performance, he accounted for over 500 yards, I think six touchdowns. He's co-favorite to win the Heisman again. So Oklahoma has the co-favorite for the third consecutive Heisman Trophy win.
And he missed the value, by the way, because Hurts was 12-1 last week.
Yeah.
And, you know, Lincoln Riley, we're just going to go a little tangent here. Lincoln Riley's just building his resume to be the next Dallas Cowboys head coach.
Well, if he goes anywhere, let's bring him there.
But – see the Ravens and Steelers are obviously fighting for second place because the Browns have already won the division.
Yeah,
so it's going to be a dogfight. I think the Dolphins are going to be as bad as everybody thinks, and I think people
like
are
worse than the league bad 3-13.
I think that they're a 3-13, 4-12 type team. I really do. You know, Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to have two or three games that
Fitzpatrick's
he's going to be unbelievable.
Fitzpatrick's pitching,
but he's not going to be unbelievable.
He'll be good for a few games, and then. six interceptions.
Those games will be the Jets.
Josh Rosen
I'm sure that at some point they're going to have like a Jets Bills back to backer or something like that. Well, he can dominate, but I think people apparently I'm not listening to the same shows you guys are listening to because I haven't heard anybody talking about the Ravens, a playoff team, a proven team for 20 years. You know, I'm not in a position as a Steelers fan to be talking up the Ravens and sticking up for the Ravens, but I just feel that they're undervalued.
All right. Kansas City, Jacksonville. I want to kind of find a team.
This is my favorite game.
Okay, well, then we got to hold off on that because we got about a minute and a half before we have to go off to a traffic. Tampa Bay, San Francisco. We'll start with this. We don't get it in. San Francisco traveling to Tampa to play the Bucs. Bucs opened up. It's minus one right now. So there's a lot. It's basically a pick'em game. You know, I hate to overvalue what I see, but I really wasn't very impressed by what I saw out of Garoppolo in his preseason game. That concerns me. Now, he's going up against a really, really bad Tampa Bay defense, too. So not a lot of interest in the game. The total is 50.5. I do like the game under 50.5, though. 51.5, 50.5.
I agree. And as the resident Niner fan on the show, Garoppolo was atrocious in the few snaps that he did
take.
He
was Trubisky atrocious from last night.
Absolutely. And then on top of that, I'm kind of interested to see what the Bucs do bringing Bruce Arians over because he's supposed to be that quarterback whisperer. And, I mean, Winston has a lot of potential. So against a mediocre Niner defense, he could do some things. And I do like that to go under. But as a pick'em and as a Niner fan, I'm taking the Bucs all day.
51 right now is what the number is.
I'm curious to see how he does as well because I think Arians, people have to realize, it will be a huge upgrade in the coaching aspect, right? They finally got rid of Dirk Cutter, who was supposed to be the quarterback whisperer, and we are leaving for traffic.
Yeah, and we're leaving for traffic. I love, once again, I always make sure Josh gets cut off. So this is the time we have to go off the
Hard
traffic.
Out.
So we'll be back after this message on ESPN 94.5 FM. Welcome back to the William Hill Sports Show. Firing off this NFL slate, we left off at Tampa Bay in San Francisco. San Francisco traveling to Tampa Bay is a one-point underdog. Total in this game, big total, 51.5, 51.5. Nick Hughes, it's flattened out half point at 51 flat. I like the under in this game. Like I said, I really wasn't impressed with Garoppolo. I think it's going to take a couple of games for him to get his NFL
Jimmy Jesus.
His alertness back, I guess. And I think that. You know, San Francisco kind of knows that, and they're not going to be out there gunslinging, you know, all over the field. It is a little scary because Tampa Bay can score. There's so many weapons in that offense with Jameis and Godwin and Evans.
You brought up Bruce Arians just now, right, Josh?
Right.
It's the perfect guy for Jameis Winston. If Jameis Winston cannot thrive under Bruce Arians and who Bruce Arians is and, you know, the whole quarterback whisperer thing, and he's such a great individual. He's your dad. He's your buddy. He's everything. That guy is the man. If he doesn't thrive now, he's never gonna figure it out. So, we were high on the Bucs last year, and it blew up in our face. This year, I am high on the Bucs again. I think they throttle the 49ers.
Wow,
and it's a tough game to call though, because I think Ken alluded to. I mean, the Bucs
31-14
worst defense of the league last year, and a pretty bad running game too. It's just a tough call. I'd probably pass. I'd lean Tampa Bay a little bit, but that'd be a high-scoring affair. And I think at the first week, I mean, if granted, provided Garoppolo plays in the regular season like we've seen him before, I kind of like Kyle Shanahan's equity now with the Niners. His system's been around a little longer. That's, I mean, it's the reason why I have to pick him.
Josh, if I keep counting the Bucks, one of these years it's going to pay off, right?
Exactly. It's got to one of these
It worked
days.
For the Chargers.
All right. Kansas City, Jacksonville. Kansas City traveling to Jacksonville, laying 3.5. This number's actually came down a little bit.
Here we
go. So, John, do you believe in Jacksonville?
Yes. Not only do I believe in Jacksonville, I think last year was a blip on the radar. The year before wasn't the blip where they, you know, took the Patriots to the end and almost made it to the Super Bowl. Last year was the blip. I think that they've righted that ship. Nick Foles is a great pickup at the right time, and they're going to be able to run the ball. They're going to be able to throw the ball, but it's all about defense with Jacksonville. And what a better test in the world is there than the Chiefs with what Patrick Mahomes brings to the table, which, by the way, Bears fans, you remember you traded up to get Mitchell Trubisky with Patrick Mahomes sitting there. But that's neither here nor there. This is so interesting to me. The two most interesting games were last night's game, which didn't turn out too interesting, but we learned a lot about both teams. And this game, I'm really interested to see if the Jaguars are who I think they are, and I do. And I'm gonna bet the Jaguars money line. I think they're gonna win the game outright. And the Chiefs may take a step back. They were just all world last year. Everybody knows that. I think this Jaguars defense is for real, and I think they're chomping at the bit. I don't know what I was about to say there, but I think they're chomping at the bit right now.
That's what you're saying. Bring it.
Yep.
Josh?
Yeah, it's a tough game. I mean, I anticipate Jacksonville bouncing back as well. I was surprised how poorly they were last year. I realized, you know, you might take a little step back after that season, but that team's still loaded with so many young stars on defense. I think they've got some weapons as well. I'm curious to see Nick Foles now out of his element in Philadelphia.
And after the draft, their defense got better.
Right. You wonder, though, because there's been some times outside of Philadelphia, Foles hasn't had a lot of success. He started with a while for the Rams. It just seemed like the Eagles had that system that fit his skills. I'm curious if I think Jacksonville was prepared to build around his skills as well. And, I want to see the guy, you know, succeed, because it seems like it was a great story leading the Eagles to that Super Bowl. It seems like, you know, a guy worth rooting for. But it's the ultimate test against what's widely considered the most, you know, powerful offense in the league. And again, just 3.5 points. Either.
What do you like, Josh?
Yeah, you know, this one's, you know, airtight, but the Jags have burned me before. I think to me it would be Chiefs or pass so far.
All right. I agree. I'm kind of Chiefs or pass, but I think the Jaguars defense, one, after the draft improved, having a better quarterback, regardless of where Foles did or didn't do with the Rams and everything, he's a far step above Bortles.
And
so.
Go ahead.
Less three and outs, so that defense is going to be better rested throughout the game to give them that more efficient defense that we all thought they were going to have.
And you have a healthy Leonard Fournette, because you know he's getting hurt sometime, but he's coming in healthy game
one.
Well,
he's on my fantasy team, so you know he's getting hurt.
Yeah, and you got D.D. Westbrook's going to have a big year this year, too, if you're a fantasy player. D.D. Westbrook. Cleveland Browns at home versus the Titans.
Oh, God, this
Browns,
is easy.
Browns 5.5 should be laying 55.5.
55.5.
Yeah, 45 is the number that everybody's already appointed the darling Browns as this year's Super Bowl. Nick, still the line's still the same. No movement here. 5.5 at 45.5. John, Josh, everybody?
It's funny, I make a lot of Cleveland Brown jokes, but I love them right here. I think they're
you know why?
This is
cause
giving
I
it away.
The Browns will be worth fading at some point.
You like
but
laying,
I think,
laying the 5.5?
Laying the 5.5.
In week one, though,
without
I think it's
back.
Too popular an opinion. Because, yeah, now I hear everyone saying, oh, geez, you can't lay those points, I'll take. But you know what? I've seen enough of the Titans to think in this specific situation, I feel like Cleveland does roll.
I enjoyed seeing the Odell Beckham Jr., oh, my hip hurts.
Yeah.
Oh,
already?
So you and AB are the same guy.
You know, what interests me in this game is the Titans' running game. You know, Derrick Henry had a great last four or five games last year. He was really terrible leading up to that. So I think you're going to get a big dose of Derrick Henry. And if he's going to revert back to the way he was at the beginning of last year, it's an easy cover for the Browns.
Yeah.
I really think that. I mean, so
I do too. It's definitely going to be on a teaser for me, 100%. I'll probably going to end up straight betting it as well.
Okay. Josh, any last parting comments on that?
Just Browns are nothing. Just I don't have any trust whatsoever in the Titans. Mariota's kind of in that same book as Winston of a lot of potential, a lot of hype, a lot of what could have been, but it's just been very mediocre and disappointing in seeing what he's done, and that offense is going to roll with him.
All right. Carolina at home versus the Rams. Rams traveling. 2.5. The Rams are favored by 2.5. It opened at 2.5. It's down to 2. The total opened at 49.5. A half point move to the over. So we're over 50 right now. The number is 50 right now. You know, every wise guy in the world right now loves Carolina in this game.
Yeah,
they
I see it.
Really, really do.
I see it.
So just with that being said, you know, I'm going to hopefully it moved the wrong way. I really wanted to get Carolina +3 at home. +3. And it's moved a half point the other way. It's down to 2. So I really don't think the points are going to come into play in this game. So it would be either Carolina money line or a pass for me in this game. I'm going to look at it a little bit more. But Cam back, I mean, he's – that defense, Olsen is back. I know that, you know.
See, Cam set the Guinness World Record the other day for most one-handed catches in a row.
Yeah, it's crazy,
isn't it?
Pretty
cool.
So, with that being said, this is home dog plus points or a pass for me.
Yeah, it's a tough one because, like you mentioned, I kind of liked it at +3 also, but the spread has been wilted down to. I've even seen one. It could end up a pick-up, so you're right. It seems like the Panthers are the real popular play. And with that, sometimes I wonder – is the other side worth a look? Because the bottom line is the Rams were a Super Bowl participant last year. I mean, the Panthers they were wildly inconsistent, but it really gets your attention when you see that big of a line movement.
Josh, what would this line would have What would this line have been on December 15th of last year?
Exactly. Probably 6.5 or something. So that's what I'm wondering, if suddenly, you know, it's one of those reversals where it's like, yeah, you like the Panthers where they opened up, but now I almost have to give the Rams a look. So I'd probably pass, but, again, maybe I just and sucker for falling for the team that was so great last year.
Well, that's the thing. And when you said the line, I said I see it. I didn't say I like it. I like the Rams here. I think the Rams go in there and win the ball game. But I understand why the line is how it is. Because I think there is a little bit of a bounce back with the Panthers. So that's three straight NFC South teams that I think are going to have a little bit of a bounce back. Panthers being one of them, obviously. But I think the Rams are just, if there's that Super Bowl hangover for, you scored 3 points in the Super Bowl. You held the Patriots to 13 and lost the Super Bowl. That's
crazy.
That's unbelievable. So there's got to be a little bit of a hangover there, but you have the best player in football in Aaron Donald. So I like the Rams.
All right. Lions traveling to Arizona. Lions laying points on the road. The Lions shouldn't be laying points on the road, guys. I'm just letting you know. The Lions should not be laying points on the road. It opened at 2.5. It's up to 3. You have the Cardinals, Kyler Murray's debut, 46.5. I mean, I'm looking at this, and I'm going, really? The Lions are – you know what? Give me Arizona. Arizona's going to win this game. I really think so. I mean, I think the defense is going to step up. I just, dadgum. I mean, the Lions shouldn't be laying points on the road.
Yeah. I mean, that's.
They were 6-10 last year.
I would love to see how many times the Lions have been a road favorite and actually covered in their history.
They were 6-10 last year.
Yeah. No.
Dadgum.
I'm with you. You know, Cliff Kingsbury and his sub-500 record at Texas Tech. With Kyler Murray in his 5'9 stature, I'll take the Cardinals. You're right. This is a principal bet. If we lose it, we lose it. I am not going to ever lay points on the road with the Lions. I don't care who they're playing.
Josh?
Yeah, it makes sense because that's probably destined to blow up. Like at first, after seeing the Cardinals a lot in the preseason, I thought they might make a play in Detroit here. But then the more you look into it, the Lions have been pretty bad too. And between the two, you know, situations, the Cardinals as a home dog is probably where the value lies, but more or less I'll probably just pass because I think overall these are two pretty bad teams jumping in there with 3-1 and
literally
the probably
Lions
a bad idea.
Literally the Lions and Cardinals.
Cardinals are +3/-20 now, so +3/-20. Give me the Cardinals. Cardinals. Seahawks open up at home versus the Cincinnati Bengals. 9.5 totals, 44.5. That's what Nick used on the parlay card. I'm pulling it up. I have my mobile app right here. It's the easiest way for me to do this. So I'm trying to see where we're at right now. 9.5 and 44.5.
That's too many.
So it's I mean, Cincinnati's pretty bad, but you know, they still have Andy Dalton. They still have Tyler Boyd. They still have Joe Mixon.
Joe Mixon's the key to all of that.
Yeah.
And, you know, the defense is not awful. Here's the thing about the Bengals. You know who's not coaching the Bengals on Sunday?
Marvin.
Okay, so we've been waiting for this forever. I was hoping Marvin Lewis would coach the Bengals for the rest of my life. It didn't happen. 9.5 is a really ambitious number for me. I think the Seahawks are going to be better, and I think I get it. I understand it. I think the Bengals are a little undervalued. I think the Seahawks are a little overvalued. 9.5, you can dominate a game and win the game by 9 points.
Yeah.
I like the Bengals, and you're not going to hear me say that a lot this year.
Yeah, it's too many points for me as well. Like, I think Seattle.
So do we throw this into our second leg decent of our 10-point teaser, Seattle at home just to win?
Yeah, I can get with that. Or I can go. You can go the other way with it too.
I think it's more likely that Seattle doesn't lose at home than it is.
I think you can add both sides to that.
Pretty
middle,
much.
20-point
right?
middle.
I wouldn't be surprised at all, 100%. Though, if that's like a one-possession game to the end.
Yep, I agree.
Mr. Thompson, you got anything on this?
That's just far too many points to lay, so I'd either tease it up or just stay away from the game.
All right, there you have it. Boise State, scoreless. Marshall, scoreless, 7:30. Marshall's got the ball first and 10.
But,
at the
Geno, it's 21-14. Really early into the second quarter here in your lock of an under 59. So,
wow.
Nice job.
What was the total?
59.
And they're at 35?
They're at 35 already with not a lot of time ticked off the clock in the second quarter.
Double digits time still in the second
exactly.
quarter. All right. Let's head off to our last commercial break. We'll continue with the NFL slate when we get back on William Hill Sports Show, ESPN, 94.5 FM. All right. We're back here at the Club Conega right outside the William Hill Sportsbook on ESPN, 94.5 FM. Going through this NFL slate, Chargers at home versus the Colts. 6.5 is the number. Totals 44.5. I don't think that. I think the Colts are going to be better than people think. I think Brissett's going to be able to get that. Obviously, they're a different team without Andrew Luck. But with that being said, I probably would only tend to like the under in this game a little bit. I think the Chargers want to run. They run the game clock down to the last possible second. You know, no Melvin Gordon. Still interesting to see what's going to happen this year. But the only thing I would like in this game is probably the under. So that's kind of where I'm at.
The fact of the Chargers, I understand what you're saying with Melvin Gordon. That is absolute factor, but the fact that they're laying under a touchdown, it scares me. We always talk about the price dictating the winner, and that scares me. I thought it would be, you know, 8.5 is what I was thinking. 8, 7.5, 8. You know,
well, it went up from 3 to 6.5 on the Luck News.
So. Yeah, on the Luck News.
So I think it's the other way in the sense that, I mean, I feel like the Chargers are going to be a huge public play just because of that. People are going to say, oh, no, Andrew Luck, yeah, just hammer it. 7's a lot of points. I actually kind of like the Colts.
You like the Colts? You know my thoughts on my Los Angeles Superchargers. I almost said San Diego Superchargers. Is this the last possible run for Phillip Rivers, maybe?
Could be.
It could be. This is definitely a teaser play for me. It's going to probably close out that teaser, but – I don't know. Jacoby Brissett, he was fantastic in college. I remember watching him and going, man, that dude can absolutely play. Goes to the greatest system in the universe in New England, learns under the master, comes back, and I think he's going to be fine. People were talking about the Colts as a possible AFC Super Bowl contender. You take out Andrew Luck, obviously that things are going to change. 3.5 points, was that worth 3.5 points, Josh?
Well, I guess Andrew Luck's one of those guys who, you know, like Aaron Rodgers to the spread. If he was out, it'd be worth 7. I guess Luck 3.5, 4. I guess it's fair, but
because they've rebuilt their defense, they've rebuilt their offensive line. Everything got better around Andrew Luck, and it's really unfortunate that happened.
100%.
This game in particular, I'm going to tease it down. I do not love the Chargers in this spot. Love the Chargers in general. I would lean towards the Colts on the absolute line. But I'm going to tease down the Chargers just to win.
Yeah, I would lean towards the Colts as well. I don't think Brissett's going to be as bad of a backup plan as everybody's anticipating. Yeah, he's no Andrew Luck, but there's a lot worse quarterbacks out there. So if anything, one, it's going to be a good teaser play. Two, I think, you know, with the running game that the Chargers are going to have, they're going to have to rely too much on Rivers, and it's going to take a toll on them. So I'm going to lean to the Colts.
All right. Josh, do you like this game at all, Josh? I mean, really, what's your gut say?
Told you, I think it's going to be a public special on the Chargers, so I'm taking the points. Hopefully, get a full 7, possibly.
I want to back up. They're listing Mike Evans as questionable too for against the Niners. So
the umpire or the
so maybe the Niners are the play in that game. So I'm with you guys. I think the Colts are going to be better than people think. I think everybody is an overreaction. You know, the loss of Luck is built into the line. So handicappers, don't forget that. Cowboys at home opening up against the San Francisco Giants, 7.5.
Whoa.
The numbers down.
Whoa.
What?
San
Francisco, really?
Giants, yes.
Oh, did I? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I'll take the Cowboys all day.
Cowboys
there.
Versus the, the New York Football Giants. So Cowboys, Nick used 7.5 on the card, 45.5 for the total. It's down to a flat 7. I like the Cowboys at -7. I'll play the Cowboys at -7. I think that, you know, they're trying to figure out how to gracefully put Eli Manning out to pasture, so to speak. And with that being said, I like the Cowboys in this game. Zeke coming back, that offensive line, they're going to do enough to win. I just don't see the Giants scoring enough to keep up with Dallas. And believe me, I'm a Cowboys fan, and very seldom do I ever throw out big Cowboys opinions.
No, like never, basically, especially against the Giants with the track record of those two teams playing against each other. But I'm with you. The way you put that with Eli Manning, you think they're just showing him respect right now?
Yeah, for sure, he deserves it.
And they know that this team is not a team that has a chance to go to the next level with what's in the division.
Sure.
Obviously, with the Eagles and the Cowboys, I think you're right about that. And Eli gets a bum rap, he does. Daniel Jones is the man, though.
You know, it's funny, John. Though I did. I was curious just how bad things were, because I know the perception is, oh, Eli is basically, football-wise, one foot in the grave, get rid of him.
I knew he was better,
but I had to research that one extensively for Sportsline. Crazy. 4,300 yards, 66% completion percentage last year, 21 touchdowns, 11 high interceptions, 11 picks.
But once overall, a narrative starts, you can't
take
stop it.
That stat from your starting quarterback? So
beat Tom Brady in the Super Bowl twice.
So, yeah, I don't think he's as done as all the pundits suggest. And I think the Giants are going to be better than people think, too. I mean, they still have Saquon Barkley. It's crazy. 2,000 yards from scrimmage.
Zeke can't sniff his jockstrap.
And with Beckham out and what's his name, Golden Tate suspended, they still – they've got some – Evan Engram at tight end will be a nice target. Sterling, who's a Shepherd, the guy from Oklahoma. I just think the Giants will be a little bit better. They're similar to the Dolphins, won't be as big a disaster as people think. And I don't know, 7 points in a rivalry game, tempting.
And it's similar to my thoughts on the Redskins and the Eagles, is that it's just the history of the Cowboys and the Giants. Cowboys are a much better team, and I understand that. This is going to be a teaser play for me as well. I'm always going to take the easy way out of it, but I need to see it. I need to see it. The Cowboys are as talented as anybody in this league. And I think they have a big chance to win, 11, maybe even 12 games this year, going through their schedule. But
hopefully,
Kenny, you know how the Giants play these guys. You know how they play.
Oh yeah, every year it's just like the Raiders and the Broncos. No matter who's good or who's bad, it's going to be a matchup. So with that being said, Tommy, you want to weigh in?
I mean, if I'm going to play anything on this, I'm definitely going to play the Cowboys. I think it's just with that defense that the Cowboys are bringing, it's going to be real easy to stack the box and control Saquon a little bit, and you're going to force Eli to have to make some throws, and then we're really going to see if he's going to be the guy for 8 games, 12 games, 16 games, or they're going to cut him at 4 and bring in the rookie. So
all right, Patriots, Pittsburgh traveling to Foxborough, laying 5.5, totals 50.5. I'll make this short and sweet. I have Pittsburgh. Three of the guys that I follow all lined up on Pittsburgh. It's going to be one of my best bets. I can tell you right now it's going to be Pittsburgh plus the 5.5, and I'll be playing it in my big contest.
Wow. Why?
Don't know. I just think it's too early in the year to lay 5.5 points.
Have you ever seen the Pittsburgh Steelers go to New England?
John, don't argue with me. Just make your point. Let's go.
That is my point.
Okay. Josh, what do you like, Josh?
It might as well. Pittsburgh has given New England a tough time over the years at home, but not in the playoffs and not in New England. I just want it to maybe be Patriots or nothing.
It's a Sunday night game. They're going to do the ring ceremony and all that stuff beforehand. And this is a one-sided rivalry. The Patriots don't even consider it a rivalry. The Steelers have the Ravens and the Browns and Bengals, whatever. But no, the Patriots are the only thing the Steelers ever think about. So we're going to learn about how big of a loss AB was, how big of a loss Le'Veon Bell was, and we're going to go forward and see. I love your confidence with it. I'm with you. I hope it happens. But until I see otherwise, not one chance would I ever play the Pittsburgh Steelers in Foxborough.
All right, Saints-Texans. Saints at home in the Dome versus the Texans. NICU 6.5 and 53.5 with the Saints being favored at 6.5. Line moved to a flat 7 right now with a total of 53.5. Great first week matchup in this game. It's a pass for me. I would only lean towards the Houston Texans getting a touchdown in this spot. But, I'm going to enjoy this game. It's the early game on Monday at 4:10. Two Monday night games, don't forget that. So with that being said, I'm probably going to pass and just enjoy this game and just see where it takes me.
Yeah, I'd probably take New Orleans only because it is a ton of points. I actually expect Texas could be a bit of a live dog. But in these spots with New Orleans in the showcase game, the offense tends to do pretty well. And I still think Houston could be incapable of keeping up here. I just feel like the Saints could be by double figures.
I mentioned earlier what I feel comfortable with, the Patriots at home, but you stay at home, Saints at home fits in that as well. Saints for sure, and there's no chance you're not going to bet that game. I know what you're saying, but there's no chance you're not betting that game.
I'll have more of an opinion as it gets closer to game time, but this number's creeping up from 6.5 to 7. I don't know what the buyback – I need to figure out what my buyback number is.
Definitely going to probably tease this game with the Saints just because I think they're going to win. I don't know if they'll cover the full 7.
All right. Last game, Raiders at home versus the Denver Broncos. We have 2 minutes. Raiders, 1 point. It's a half point on the card. I've seen 2.5. It's bouncing all the way, all over the place with Antonio Brown. Give me the home dog on Monday night. I love having the Raiders on Monday night and plus points.
I do too, Kim. But you know what's funny? I liked it more when he wasn't going to play because I thought 99% of the public world is going to be on the Broncos if he wasn't in there at all. Like, there's no receiver that's worth 4 points to the line. I mean, they went from -2.5 to +2. But right now the Broncos are still favored, and you know what? I still think the Raiders get it done.
I do too, and I think he has a huge game. Unfortunately, I really
and
do.
Now flip the script, right? I thought they'd play hard without him and prove that they weren't chumps or whatever. And now
one
I think they'll play well.
Antonio Brown does day in day out is ball out.
John, wouldn't that be the ultimate apologies? You just go out and catch 150 yards.
That's all it is. That's the reason he's there. Everybody knows what a clown he is. Everybody knows what a jackass he is. He's going to produce no matter what.
All right, Josh, got real quick?
Raiders.
All right, Raiders. Time to give our picks, which we'll be posting our picks and other plays, too, on our Facebook page at Kenny B ESPN Sports Handicapping. So let's figure this out. I'll give mine out. I'll give Mark Shannon's out first. Mark Shannon likes Carolina. He likes the Cardinals, and he likes the Denver-Oakland game under in the first half. Denver-Oakland under in the first half. Josh?
I'll go Colts, Raiders, and Saints.
Colts, Raiders, Saints. Hawk.
Jets, Jaguars, Patriots.
Niner game under, Browns, and Ravens.
Cleveland, Browns, and the Raiders. All right. Make sure we'll post these on our Facebook page at Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. You can also, mine, Pittsburgh, Dallas, and Kansas City. That's me. Pittsburgh, Dallas, Kansas City. Do all your wagering with William Hill. Make sure you download the mobile app at www.williamhill.us. Sign up for the Pro Pick'em and the College Selection. Good luck on your wagering. We'll see you next week, same time, ESPN 94.5 FM.
Thanks for joining us for the William Hill Sports Show. Be sure to tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. for all the action. This is KUUB Sun Valley, ESPN Radio 94.5 FM.